This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Tuesday Takeover with Josh from the Skins on FUBAR Radio.
Greetings, hello and welcome. What's going on, everyone? It's 4 o'clock. My name is Josh from the Skins. Here is your Tuesday Takeover presenter on FUBAR Radio right now. At FUBAR Radio on everything. Give us an email, takeover@foobarradio.com. My first ever time on radio. Looking forward to this one. Got some friends coming in, some guests, some jokes, some folks. We're going to have a good time. If you don't know about the Skints, that's my band. We are four punk rock kids that started a band a very, very long time ago, all the way back in 2007. And somehow, along this mad journey of life, it's become what we do. So you should check out our new album, Swimming Lessons. Album number 4 out now on Mr. Bongo Records and Easy Star Records in America. It's pretty wild, man. We just got back from US tour, first ever headline tour of the West Coast. Good fun, all the way down from San Diego up to Vancouver. Getting into some super reggae situations and some super punk rock situations in Vegas as well, punk rock bowling. Saw the legends Rancid kick it in the middle of downtown Vegas, which was pretty wild for us. And yeah, man, we're going to get into a tune in a minute. We've got a couple new videos out. Watch out for Learning to Swim, the opening track. You can see us bubbling underwater, rocking out in a special effects swimming world. And Restless, featuring Protégé, is the other new one out there right now. You can see us acting as the worst ever news team you've ever seen in your life. We're going to get into a tune right now. This one, new one, it's banging at Six Music right now. Big up Steve Lamack, everyone at Six Music. Other stations are available. Playing this new one, Armageddon, featuring Runkus from Jamaica. Watch out for this one. It's a
Gideon, fire a gun in a ditch. I'm a Gideon, baby.
Sounds of the Skints featuring Runkus. My name is Josh from the Skints. You're listening to FUBAR Radio. This is the Tuesday Takeover. Yeah, man. Got some friends coming in soon. Watch out for Rival. Ones like Holly Cook, Jamie Rodigan. It's very diverse musical backdrop we're drawing from in the friends today. And a lot of people I've met through the road and touring and recording. I guess we're starting off with just me in this lonely studio. 25% of the Skints. Like I just said, album number 4, Swimming Lessons, is out right now. That song you just heard featuring Runkus out of Jamaica. Wicked, wicked, wicked up-and-coming artist. He's actually coming over to England next week doing a promo run. He's got a new tune coming. I know he's got works with Toddler T and a bunch of other people in the mix. And yeah, man, Rival, watch out for Rival coming in next. That's someone that's been out on the road with us. Came out on the FM tour in 2015, along with the South London reggae legendary ambassadors Tipper Irie and Horseman. That was a good time. We're going to get into that one with Rival later. But till then, I'm going to be self-indulging about the Skints a little more. Well, our first album came out 2009. Live, Breathe, Build, Believe was a super quick foray into the punky reggae world that we came from. We smashed that one out in 5 days. Cost us a grand. And yeah, you can still get that one and see where it's at. Part and Parcel was album number 2 in 2012, when we were going a little more on a traditionalist trajectory in our songwriting into the reggae, rocksteady, ska world, and cut that one all to tape for all you engineers out there that are working in your bedroom studios and don't know about tape and analog equipment. We did that, and you had to get it right in a number of takes, so that was a good learning curve for us. Album number 3, FM, as I just mentioned, we had Rival, and it was actually a concept album set on a pirate radio station somewhere in London on the hottest day of the year. So if you're into concept records and a little bit of story with your albums, check out that one. So here we are, FUBAR Radio. Coming up next, we've got Protégé featuring Lila Ike, Agent Sasko. Hold tight, all the Jamaica crew. This one's an absolute banger. Watch out for it on Indignation and Easy Star Records. That one, I'm totally lying. This is Protégé, Lila Ike, and Sasko. My absolute bad.
Again, bread now no butter then. No, this mean all handgun and long rifle a go for then. The streets now no governing. It's a free for all, can't get peace at all. Soul a fly away like a Peter Paul. See it's all clear and evident, caused by the decadence. CIA intelligence, now Netflix have the evidence. And man a shoot pastor in a church, man a shoot father in picnic school. Some different man a set the rules. Hey, man's a fuck, no one sing about them thing ya. When man can't even manage, put them garbage in a bin ya. Food box out a car window, I clog up the drain. Then when the flooding start, the government them get the blame. My brothers, it is a shame. More time we feel embarrassed to be part of this generation, causing all these havoc. Man, what that? A man wouldn't even care about him offspring. Stop singing.
I'm missing out another word. We're not gonna further. What that they are born in the earth, yeah. The youths them have no parents, so you find that they have lost their way. I'm missing out another word. We're not gonna further. Your baby mother, you got murder. Revelation tell me, so I guess this is the end of day.
Hey, my raging protégé, there's so much more to say. Yeah. Hold the place up, run, I know we have to open, break the ice. When them come with them and just last. The youths have said they won't to me. The pedophile them start to go to spark the youths at play. A man not on the basic school, them in a shooting range. So only if I lick a tad, then I'll go see another day. Then all I will not turn a blind eye, them I turn the other way. What's the agenda? It come like them November said. We will only give up on the 48th of November. We have a strong alliance with the ultimate defender. And all the tech for bundling Babylon is just an ember. Oh, pull out the weakest link. Them fall like Jenga. Line up at your cable box like a bird box challenger. Cause how can you not see that while you video them a render? If you don't know there's a battle, then you've already surrendered.
Not another word, we're not going no further. What that they are born in the earth, yeah. The youths, them have no parents, so you find that they have lost their way. I'm missing out another word, but now I'm gonna further. Your baby mother, you go murder. Revelation tell me so, I guess this is the end of this. Yes, this is the end of this.
Word, not Fishbone as I initially said. Protege, Lila Ike, Agent Sasko, absolute banger out there right now. But ladies and gentlemen, it is FUBAR Radio, it is the Tuesday Takeover. My name is Josh from the Skints. I've got none other than Jamie Rodigan in the studio.
Oi, oi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Thank you very much for coming on my first ever foray into radio DJing.
Yeah, man.
I know it's something that you're a dab hand at yourself. So, yeah, we're in the hot seat. What's going on, bro?
I'm good. Busy.
What you been up to in the last week or so?
Last weeks? Well, we saw each other on Sunday, a couple of days ago, and did the Standard Selections, the launch of a new night we're doing at the Standard Hotel in King's Cross. It was a Q&A and a little party with Becca D and Chris Peckins. And so, yeah, I've been doing that. Dropped a couple of singles as well. Did a remix of The Israelites for Desmond Dekker for Trojan Records, celebrating 50 years of that song. So
cool,
great to be part of that project. And that's we did that as Create Classics, myself and Aaron Horn. And we produced a song for Ayatosh as well, called Reasons, which just dropped on Friday.
Wicked, man. We'll get into the Crate Classics and production stuff in a little bit. Initially, what I wanted to ask you, if you could tell the people what, you know, you as a DJ, as a producer, music in general, if you could sort of share, you know, your early life experiences of that, you know, how you got into any of the music you're into, but obviously I know you as a serious dancehall guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know, I mean, Jamie's tastes are wide, but I've seen this guy bully up sets on an absolutely raggo dancehall one. So, yeah, if you could get into that. It'd be great.
Yeah, man. I mean, music is obviously a big part of my family. My dad is David Rodigan, a DJ from, you know, 70s. So, you know, music is a big part of the family. My mom loved rare groove, soul. She's right up to speed with everything nowadays as well. And just listening to kind of like a lot of dancehall, a lot of reggae singers like Gregory, Dennis Brown, you know, like Sugar Minot, Studio One, going to like Dub Vendor, going to Jetstar every Sunday, and just being a part of, you know, the whole thing, the whole movement.
It's kind of a thing of where it's literally like it's so normal to you that you can't even think of getting into it. Or was there a song maybe as you were getting a little bit older and that was sparking your own tastes that was kind of making you want to get into this thing rather than it just being so like normalized by the super musical environment that you grew up in?
I mean, I love like jungle. I used to listen to like, you know, Jungle Mania. I had all those CDs, and I was kind of like, our brain was kind of switching on to that sound a bit as well. But
was,
like,
that, was that from like school? Or
yeah,
like
that
a
was
local
like
thing?
Yeah, that was school. Like,
you grew up in West London,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I grew up in West London. But a song that actually kind of did it for me was like Pinchers' Bandolero, which is like 92, 93.
All Gringos and Pasera.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, because it just was kind of different to your average dancehall song. It kind of like, you know, and what he was singing about, and his actual voice itself was so unique at that era, and you know, Jammy's production, and so yeah, definitely like a song like that was.
Wow,
like,
how old were you when that came out?
I must have been like 8 or something.
Yeah, wow, that's wild, man. Yeah. And so, okay, cool. So that's you getting into music, and in terms of, you know, you wanting to play music out, were you just a DJ at home naturally? All the men or whoever in your family just naturally playing music out, and,
yeah, I mean,
and,
there
you,
was
and you were the guy that people knew to call because you had good records.
There was decks in my house. I used to mess around on them, much to my dad's annoyance. Breaking needles.
Oh dear. I think I broke a few.
I
was going to say, have you ruined any special records?
None of the records, actually. Okay. It was only the needles.
No dirty scratches.
Yeah, I think
the
records are off limits.
Home.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the DJing thing, it was just kind of always there. So, you know, I had records. I was into it from young. And then as I got older, I learned how to beat match and a bit of scratching and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just something that's always been there. And then when I kind of got a bit older, I didn't really do it as much. I kind of was off doing other stuff. I went to university and, you know, school, kind of playing football and, you know,
right,
just
right.
all that
what
stuff.
What did you do at university?
At uni, I did English and American Lit because I wanted to be a writer.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, you know, into like writing books, and that's kind of where I kind of thought maybe I'm going to be a writer, a novelist. And I was doing a bit of journalist stuff, you know, working for uni paper and that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, so.
Wicked, man. And obviously, as you touched on before, production now is something you're massively into. Do you think that's, I mean, especially in the reggae business, I mean, and all aspects of DJs and producers, do you find yourself getting into that as in terms of like the era we're in now, whereas to be, you know, a working DJ, to be a producer as well is necessary, whereas maybe 30 years ago they were kind of feel like maybe more separate entities? Is that was that a conscious thing, or is that just you wanting to create as well as be a selector?
I downloaded Fruity Loops when I was 13, right. And I was always kind of tinkering with it and coming up with ideas, but it was only in the last sort of 5 years that I took it more seriously and professionally. I'm gonna actually get into production, actually put some records out there.
Okay, cool.
And work with artists that I kind of always wanted to work with, but because maybe my production level wasn't so up there, or I wasn't really that committed to it, I didn't do it. But you know, the last about 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago.
Very cool. Yeah, and into, and the artistry of the production, as you said, Great Classics, which is you and Aaron Horn.
That's right.
Can you speak on how you two linked up? Were you friends from before?
We were friends from before. We were friends from West London, like the skater scene, graff scene. You know, we were mutual friends and we linked up. You know, we'd known each other a long time, and then kind of Aaron came to me and was like, look, we should do some dance records together. I was at that point where I thought, yeah, I'm ready to jump into production full time and make, you know, make that commitment. So yeah, that was kind of how we linked up, and we went from there.
Wicked. Okay, and so, as we all know, the new bashment dancehall sound, what you know, is definitely making serious waves, whether it's in influence or even artists cutting into the mainstream right now. Obviously, you know, your reggae history and lineage, I'm sure, is unmatched by many and most. Is it something about the more, as I said, you know, I've seen Jamie at Rototom in Spain playing some of the most ratchet music that exists. Was there something about that sort of sound? As I mean, I know you're a serious, you know, roots and culture guy as well.
Yeah,
that made that in terms of like your branding as a DJ and now as a producer that sort of excited you, or kind of made you want to move away from perhaps, you know, what people know your family for? Or is that just your personal taste? Or
I mean, when it comes to DJ sets, it depends where I'm kind of booked. I mean, okay. I try to kind of represent for the whole reggae and dancehall thing, you know, like I don't want to just say I just play dance or I just play this. I mean, I don't even just play that. Sometimes I play a bit of Afrobeat, a bit of hip hop, whatever, like whatever I like. But I try to represent the full spectrum, the full 360, whether it's roots and culture, a bit of dub, a bit of dancehall, whether it's hardcore bashment. You know, if I like it, I'm going to play it.
Wicked. And as a West London native, yes, you know, Carnival's coming soon.
Yeah.
What are some of your best memories of Carnival? And I'm assuming you've been a Carnival baby, let alone a young adult teenager.
Yeah.
What are some of your most impactful memories of Carnival over the years, and maybe, you know, the changes or not, or maybe you feel like the vibe has stayed the same?
Oh man, I got so many, but one that sticks out is definitely Busta Rhymes and the Flip Mode Squad.
Oh, wow.
At Horniman's Pleasance. I think it was like 95 maybe.
Wow. What was that, on Westwood?
No, it was Kiss FM stage. Oh, Horniman's okay. Pleasant. They came at 5 to 7, just before curfew, and police were like, no, no, no. They all ran on stage and they performed for like an hour.
Wow.
And it was just
crazy. About 6:30 or something.
Yeah, just before curfew, police are standing there like, no, no, you guys can't come. And they came on and it was just tore it up, and they just did all the classic, like all those big songs, Woo Ha, Put Your Hands on My Eyes, all that stuff. It was
crazy, man.
It was crazy.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to get into a tune of yours right now. Crate Classics. Can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, it's Reasons. This is a new single produced by myself and Aaron Horner's Crate Classics, featuring Ayatosh, new kid from Kingston, Jamaica. Super talented, super, 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 super cool guy, and great to be involved in the project. It's
heavy.
Called Reasons.
Reasons.
Into me name, I feel watch mama ball, and me can't take with the pain. Tough time, yeah. So much stress on my brain. All me know is things can't afford to stay the same. Me have my reasons, and you know I have to see them. Yeah, but in order to bring the changes, you have to be them. Yeah, me and my G them. No, we not deal with treason. Yeah, we work hard just to maintain throughout the seasons. But it's so hard to be grateful, yeah, when it's hard for your plateful. Hungry man is a hungry man, but I try not to be hateful. You got to be careful and not make it break you. Come on, while when we feel me lose, and just reveal the truth. Jaja, come true for me. Jaja, come true for me. Jaja, come true for me. Thanks for all you do for me. Whoa, yeah. Enough time, yeah. Not even a coin in my pocket. It take a certain drive just for wear my shoes for a mile and I walk it. Enough time, yeah. The light get cut cause we nerve it. Times my dad, but life soon sweeter than chocolate. Me have my reasons, and you know I have to see them. Yeah, but in order to bring the changes, you have to be them. Yeah, me and my G them. No, we not part with heathen. Yeah, we work hard just to maintain throughout the seasons. But it's so hard to be grateful, yeah, when it's hard for your plateful. Hungry man is a hungry man, but I try not to be hateful. You got to be careful and not make it break you. Come on, while when me feel me lose, him just reveal the truth. Jaja, come true for me.
He comes true.
Jaja, come true for me. Jaja, come true for me.
He comes true.
Thanks for all you do for me. Whoa, so much time I used to panic, and my mommy never have it till they call me like a magic man. The way the money would have vanished, she said mommy couldn't manage, so me give up on the college plan. Me pre another kind of knowledge, said the music and my talents could have probably helped me manage fam. Try fix the damage and make success the habit. Man, me have my reasons, and you know I have to see them. Yeah, but in order to bring the changes, you have to be them. Yeah, me and my G them. No, we not deal with treason.
yeah. We work hard just to maintain throughout the seasons. Yeah, enough time I have to do without. Enough time I have to move around. But all this time I still survive, so tell me why should I doubt? Yeah, enough time whenever I have no light. Enough time whenever I have no water. But all this time I've had my life, so what am I short of? Jah Jah come true for me.
He comes true.
Jah Jah come true for me.
He comes true.
He always come true for me.
He comes true.
Jah Jah come true.
Wicked tune. Alright, Tosh, Reasons. Time is 4:26. Tuesday afternoon, FUBAR Radio. My name is Josh from the Skints. You're listening to the Tuesday Takeover. We've got Jamie Rodigan in the studio. Wicked tune, man.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Love that one. So, I'm thinking today, you know, everyone... Not everyone. All Skints fans will know we're a serious touring band. I wanted to talk to you about sort of the live scene circuit and stuff like that, and your touring experiences. When was the first time you ever performed live in any capacity?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I think, like, we did, like, a school dance. Like, I guess, yeah, it was, like, a school dance. And I think we got, like, X-Man and, like, Shabba.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to come and, like...
Wow.
To come and MC, and you know, like, a few guys are
DJ.
Sick,
man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, school dance.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's cool. Like, I remember our school... In 2002, when Oi, More Fire Crew first came out.
Yeah.
And them guys came to the school. Exactly, yeah. They're from just up the road. And they came to our school, and all the kids, I think it was like the year, they performed for like the year 11s or something. I was in like year 7.
Yeah.
Everyone was getting like their school journals signed and all that. And I was thinking, like, wow, like, that's who we're getting into our school. But yeah, good times. So, in terms of live, what are you? Have you got a busy summer right now in terms of bookings?
Yeah, summer's been good, man. Did Glastonbury, Park Life, Love Saves the Day. Been on the road, man. Got a couple more festivals to do. Doing something with Cranium as well in September.
Brilliant.
And yeah, man, just keep busy.
Can you talk about your work with Cranium? If I'm sure people, all the dancehall fans out there will know. Even non-dancehall fans will be aware of some of his bigger tunes and stuff like that.
Yeah, Cranium is a New York-based dancehall artist. He's had a big anthem last year with Wizkid and I think it was Ty Dolla Sign. Can't believe her. And we've done some UK shows. And I've been playing the music for him and kind of doing a few sets before as well, so it's been good, man. We did Ends Festival in Croydon, we did Bristol as well, and then he's got a couple more shows in the UK, and he's on the kind of European leg of the tour now, and it's the Hotel Tour, I think. He's got a new album coming out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And in terms of people out there, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, do you find the DJ scene in general, and, you know, as someone that is like actively working for their bread and butter as, you know, a DJ producer, do you find the market to be oversaturated right now? Do you find less is more? Do you think that more is too much? Or do you, what do you think of the current state of quote unquote, you know, DJs and it as a live circuit in London and beyond at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, each to their own, you know. I mean, for me personally, I think, you know, to oversaturate yourself is not necessarily a great thing. But for other artists and DJs, it works great for them. So, you know, I can see it from both angles. Me personally, though, I think it's not so good to be out there all the time.
Have you got any advice for that kid sitting in their room doing their mixes, thinking, do you know what, I'm actually getting quite sick. I think I can bust up a rave somewhere.
Yeah.
They're trying to do it. What have you got? Have you got any advice for that person, or maybe
for the
you
kids,
don't? And that's
I would
fine.
Say education is key. Stay in school, learn your books. If music is your passion, though, go for it. Don't let anybody tell you different, and you know, just go out there, put yourself out there, because it's a lot easier now in certain regards, but it's a lot harder. You know, it's easier to get yourself out there on social media and, you know, spreading your awareness, but then there's probably a million other guys or girls trying to do the same thing as you. So you know, it's tough.
Okay, cool. And last one in the in the live music setting, what are Jamie Rodigan's do's and don'ts for promoters when booking him? Apart from obviously bringing the check.
Secure the bag. Do's and don'ts, I mean, get that deposit in. Get that deposit in first. And
when you're performing a lot, doing a lot of clubs when you're doing clubs all the time, or you're doing festivals all the time, you know, we see us as artists, DJs, whatever, like that we see certain patterns that work for us and those that don't. So maybe there's certain things.
I guess, like, in terms of what, for me, me giving advice to someone, like,
no, just,
being on time
just,
and
yeah,
that
well,
kind of
just,
thing, be
you know,
professional,
into, yeah, maybe
all
it's,
that
maybe
kind of
it's
stuff.
Professionalism, maybe it's...
Treat it like any job, man, you know, be professional, you know, turn up on time, know what you're doing, prepare yourself, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, what about you? What are your do's and don'ts?
Oh, man.
Give me some...
Do you know what? I mean, a big one for the skints is... Yeah. Just a room, a dressing room,
green room,
just something, even if it's like, you know, just somewhere, because, you know, Marcia is in our band, obviously female, you know, sometimes really nice dudes with the best intentions aren't necessarily thinking outside of what they personally would require in that situation, and sometimes it, you know what I mean, getting changed where the audience can see you, for example, might not be the biggest thing. And big thing for us actually as singers is a kettle, ginger and honey.
Oh yeah, always, I remember that when you were on the road.
Yeah, man,
it's
always
a big one.
You know, even at the lowest level of touring, when you're first going out and opening up, you'll always get a crate of beer. And I've always thought it's weird that the promoters want the bands or whoever to be
half
like
cut.
Maybe not very good, whereas if you gave them some coffee and some hot water and some ginger, they might be
snacks.
Like really alert and really like singing their best. So
yeah, man,
yeah, that's one. But anyway, we're going to get into a little game right now that we've devised.
Let's do it,
because I'm sure your ear is too sharp. I'm actually thinking about this game, and you might be too good for it, but we'll find out. Called it Pull Up and Rewind.
All right,
playing some Bashman and Dancehall bangers in reverse. A little clip. Can Jamie Rodigan identify them? Ready for this?
All right, let's do it.
All right.
I got it.
Go on.
Vibes Cartel. Touch a button, no?
Is he right? Actually, let's see if it's going right. He is correct, as made very big in the UK by Sneakbar, I think it was, that sampled that one.
That's it.
Very big tune, all right. I think he's actually going to smash this. We may have picked two bait tunes, but let's try that in the next one.
Yeah, I think I got it. Mavado last night.
Jeez. Big tune. Wicked tune.
David Brooks.
Yeah. Big up Mavado. He's made absolute bangers after bangers after bangers. Sure, okay. Smashing through these. Number three.
Busy Signal, Stay So.
Oh my god. I should have. I needed to go more vaults in this
you
guy,
need
man.
To go. I'm used to like pulling up all of these anyway, like in the dance.
Okay.
So it's like I'm already used to hearing it backwards.
This is our error. This guy plays them in reverse. He's been practicing mixing them in reverse anyway. All right, number four. This is. I just feel stupid now. Let's go.
Spice. But what's the name? It's called Skin Out Mint. No, I can't say that, can I? What is it called? I know it's Skin Out Mint something something, but it's
Do you know what?
Do you need a name?
So
you need a name.
I need official
title,
like, you know, PRS collection title.
What is this song called? That's terrible. Keaty, what's it called? I can't remember.
What are you saying? We've got Spice, the queen of everything.
Yeah.
We're saying.
I can't remember.
Okay, cool.
What's it called again? You have to tell me, I got it wrong.
Yes, I saw me like
something
it.
There you go. There we go.
Right. Oh, do you know what, actually? We didn't give Jamie the dings for his correct answers before, so. There we go.
There we go.
All right, and we'll give him the fourth because he didn't know. But all right, last one. This one, it's still getting, man. That's so annoying.
Oh, this one's a bit harder.
This was what I thought was like the curveball, but the others were too easy. You want it again?
Yeah, go on. Ninja Man, and it's When I Was a Little Baby.
Oh,
what's it called though? Ninja Man, it's called like Number One. Is it called Number One?
Oh, close. Number very, one. Very close. It's Ninja Man. Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's Ninja Man, and he's trying to get you to do something. What's Ninja Man trying to get us to do?
Champ, or something.
He wants you to.
He can't remember either.
He doesn't want you to take an exam.
He wants you to. Learn. Oh, he wants you to. I give up. What is it? You shouldn't have died at the dance
gate, you know, but you are test the high power. Yes, Ninja Man.
I would never go there. Test the high power.
Ninja.
Classic.
Ninja Man versus everyone. The dawn of all clashes. Well, I think you did, you know, that was very, very well. Next time we play this game, we're picking much, much harder tunes.
Yeah.
And probably, do you know what? To throw him off, we actually shouldn't even pick reggae or bashment songs next time. Next time, throw you some heavy metal curveballs. Yeah. All right. Jamie, thank you very much, sir. Josh. Anything to plug before we go?
Just go and support the music. Buy the music, stream it, support it, create classics, big up Aaron. And big up Bella Blair. We got some music dropping with her. We got Naomi Cowan. We got an EP dropping with her.
Oh, wicked. I think she's
Runkus.
Sick, man.
We got a song with Runkus and someone very special who I can't say yet, but yeah, big up Runkus. And support the music. Go out there, go and see the artists. And reggae and dancehall to the world.
Super excited, man. I love
Thank
that.
You.
At Jamie Rodigan at everything, right?
That's it.
Wicked, man. Well, if you want to stick around, have a drink with us. We've got some more friends coming in. But this tune, actually, before we leave Jamie, when I saw him the other day, I was like, nah, this is actually the tune, bruv. Gonna send this one out to Gappy Ranks.
Yes. Big up Gappy.
Big up Gappy. I know he's not been too well in his health in this past year, but you know what I mean? We're sending all good vibrations your way. This new one's an absolute Percy of mine. Too much Henny. Watch out.
Too much Henny when we drink last night. Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night.
Me did buy out the bar last night. Nothing left but coke and Sprite. Me give a tip to the bartender and she give me back a wink and smile.
Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night.
Me did buy out the bar last night. Nothing left but coke and Sprite. Me give a tip to the bartender and she give me back a wink and smile.
Only by drinks for me table. You know she say me a party. White buckle, green buckle, brown buckle. Everything get me charge. Boss a girl, let me chase her. Me start get close like the blade from the razor. Me have a kill my tag in me blazer. Me pocket of paper. No sir. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night.
Me did buy out the bar last night. Nothing left but coke and Sprite. Me give a tip to the bartender and she give me back a wink and smile.
She do the wine enough. I can't buy me she love. Top shelf, top shelf. And now she not behave herself. Party nice, every tune play me a bus shot for. And you see make me turn that, sir. Me know my limit and me not go cross that, sir. But me still get a rotted hangover. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink last night.
Me did buy out the bar last night. Nothing left but coke and Sprite. Me give a tip to the bartender and she give me back a wink and smile.
Only pa drinks for me table. You know she say me a party. White buckle, green buckle, brown buckle. Everything get me charge. Boss a girl let me chase her. Me start get close like the blade from the razor. Me have a kill my tag in me blazer. Me pocket of paper. No sir. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink. Too much Eddie when me drink last night. Too much Eddie when me drink.
did buy out the bar last night. Nothing left but coke and Sprite. Me give a tip to the bartender, and she give me back a wink and smile.
Tuesday Takeover with Josh from the Skins on FUBAR Radio.
It is the Tuesday Takeover. It is Josh from the Skins. It is 16:41 in the afternoon on FUBAR Radio. We're joined in the studio by none other than Holly Cook. Make noise!
Hello! Hiya.
How's it going, friend?
Good, thanks, friend. How are you?
I'm very good. Doing my first radio show and that.
Yeah,
thanks for coming through.
Doing a nice job, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much. What's going on in the wonderful world of Holly Cook?
Well,
what have you been up to this week?
This week, what I say exactly, I mean, it's Tuesday and I had to think about that, so I think that says a lot. I have been doing some gigs over the last couple of weeks. Got back from Berlin on Sunday, you and I together, as you know.
It was a blast.
And just kind of more of that, really, over the next couple of months. Got a few more festivals left to do, and I've just been having a lovely summer.
Okay, wicked. Awesome. Well, for those that don't know, let's take it back a little bit to Shepherd's Bush a little while ago. What's little Holly up to? What's she into?
Toy cars. I had a little garage.
Wicked.
And I also had Barbies, so I was like doing, you know, bits and pieces with all the toys, having a laugh, listening to Dolly Parton and what was her name? Patsy Cline.
That wow. I don't know Patsy Cline. Can you educate me and the listeners?
She's the one who sings Crazy.
Go on, I need bars.
Crazy.
Okay, yeah.
Feeling so lonely.
Love it.
That was the thing. So around then, yeah, I was kind of listening to music in my room from a very young age. I was an only child and good at occupying myself and also good at having parents who gave me cool tapes to listen to on my cassette player.
Wicked.
So from then in Shepherd's Bush, I grew up and into an interest of music and singing, which I pursued from probably about the age of 14. I joined a band at school, as you do.
What was the band called?
I think we were called Lava.
Lava, wow.
Lava. Yes.
Because it was red hot, yeah. The volcano eruption.
We were not a band that would sound like we should be called Lava. We were definitely more along the like pop side of things.
Okay.
And in you know, inspired by Steely Dan.
Wow.
So that was a laugh, and I went to a music college after that and just kind of carried on singing.
Cool.
And joined bands. I joined The Slits in their reformed shape in about 2006.
Yes.
And that was when things really probably started for me in my music world of doing gigs outside of like the school assembly hall.
Wicked. For any, just to stop you there, for anyone else there that doesn't know what The Slits is, were, represents, can we give them a little history on that? Because I think it's very important.
It's one that doesn't necessarily make sense as far as my involvement, but they were one of the like first ladies of punk in the 70s. In 76 they were like doing the female punk thing alongside their friends and peers, The Clash and the Sex Pistols, and yeah, came out with something really different to what the boys were doing, and worked with Dennis Bavel on a very famous album called Cut, and they did a wicked cover version of Heard It Through the Grapevine, which you should listen to if you haven't heard it. And they had two albums in the late 70s and early 80s and really paved the way for women in music and alternative women and,
right,
you know, very much kind of like breaking down the walls of what was a big boys' club at the time.
100%. I was going to say, I think the Slits were so important at the time, and maybe now, you know, we've seen a lot, I mean, and still to this day, nowhere near enough, but over the decades, we've seen more, you know, girls in music, girls in rock and roll, but at the time the musical landscape and what women's voices were, especially in a mainstream setting, unreal what these girls were singing about, how they were dressing.
Yeah, they have a very famous album cover in which they're just covered in mud being strong and powerful and fearless, and I think in their little scene it was kind of just them, Susie Sue and Chrissy Hynde from the Pretenders were like that was like the girls club, so all a bunch of badass bitches,
completely revolutionary stuff.
So I ended up in the band because Ari Up, the lead singer, wanted to record new music after a 25 year hiatus or something.
Oh wow, I didn't realise that it'd been
they that long. Like the 80s came around and Ari said she just had to escape the 80s and she moved to Jamaica.
And is that when she was making like dancehall and stuff,
tunes?
Yeah,
exactly. She really immersed herself in the music there and went under her other stage name, Medusa, because she's got the big long locks. She came back. She kind of popped in and out of my life through the years because she's an old friend of my parents who were around at that time as well. My dad was in the Sex Pistols, so they hung out and played gigs together and, you know, were basically just in the scene. So they've been longtime friends. And when she came back to London one November day, I think in about 2004 or 5, she was just calling up all her mates looking for their daughters to record a chorus on a song that would eventually be like a new Slit song.
Oh, wow.
So that was the first time I'd seen her in a little while. And it was kind of a really quick, weird, almost quite casual thing. Like it was something we'd do every day when it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that before. And she was like, you should join the band. You know, we're going to do some gigs and it'd be great to have you along. And I didn't really think twice about it or that she meant it, just that it was something that people might say when in a moment, you know. But she kind of meant most things or almost everything that she ever said. And she invited me to join the Slits.
Cool.
Round two.
And was it a case of you were like, you know, a kid that had been in bands at the time and were looking for one? Were you already in a band or were you on the path of, I'm going to be Holly Cook, the singer?
Either or. I was either up for band scenarios or solo stuff. I definitely, until that point, had experiences working on solo music from, I think, the age of about 17, of which, you know, who knows what happens for what reasons. And I was actually at music college at the time, and so a few Slits gigs would come up here and there, like on weekends, and it was no big thing. And then, like, a 6-week tour came up in my last term of college, and I figured that being in a band on the road would be a way better school than the college I was at, which was basically preparing me for exactly the same thing. So I just kind of ran away with the Slits for a couple of years.
That's so beautiful. Love it. So, obviously time goes on, you know, you become a solo artist, and Jamie as well, you know, us three can all definitely, you know, attest to, the realities of being an independent, you know, musical artist, not, you know, necessarily signed to a major label, mm-hmm. and the kind of ups and downs that come with that, because there's ups and downs with every situation. And I mean, this is kind of both of you really, like, what you know, sort of like goes into, you know, when there isn't necessarily a big, super big check behind you, or even, you know, kind of just having to come up with all creative things yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah, it's rough out here. Maybe you could touch a little on that, and how you came to even putting music out independently and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or with independent labels.
Just, I think that it's, I learned really early on that the independent way was going to be the way for me to do it. Firstly, from being in the Slits and being in a punk band, and it being purely about wanting to do it, being 100% in it, and having no compromises at all about anything, especially your music that you're making. And then when I was in my, like, before that time, I had a really, really brief moment where I started talking to major labels when I was a teenager about sort of like pop star stuff.
Right, right. And this is like pre reggae.
This is like pre. This is, yeah, like, yeah, 16 years old me doing a thing and thinking, oh, this is an opportunity. I've never had one before. And knowing really early on with that and what, how it runs and who it works with, that creatively I was going to be really compromised the whole time.
Was that something?
And that didn't sit well with me at all.
You know, I was going to say, yeah. is that something you were, I wouldn't use the word anxious, but apprehensive about before even going in? Or was it a case of, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot of young people, you know, young ladies as well, that do have a dream,
yeah.
And that, like, you know, maybe don't have that self-confidence that, you know, what they think is best for them is, you know, maybe we may think, oh, I don't really know, I'm not in the music industry, I should just listen to what these people are saying.
Yeah,
was that something that you were kind of aware of going in?
I was aware
that?
Of it. Yeah. I experienced it. It affected choices that I made. You know, when you're young and you are hungry and you have an opportunity, even though it's not the right one, you're still kind of willing to take it to a certain point. But then for me, when it started to, when I knew, like, that feeling of being uncomfortable with anything musically that was going on, like, I was like, oh, that's totally not why I want to make music, actually. So from then on, I was just like, nah, no one's really going to be able to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
When it comes to the music that I want to make, like, that's the main thing.
Is there any situations of that ilk, Jamie, you can attest to, where,
yeah,
you've been, like, whether it's with a necessarily a major record label or not, or just someone with power, you know, trying to make you feel uncomfortable by doing things that maybe you feel are against your nature?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, totally. I mean, I'm from that school of, like, you know, you don't compromise. You know, you make it your own thing. If that's what you want to do, you don't bow to anyone. You do what you want to do. If they don't want, you know, for example, promoters come, you know, oh, can you play this kind of stuff or in a DJ set or whatever. When I was kind of starting out, wanted to, and, you know, it kind of put me off it a bit, to be honest, actually.
Surely they'd be booking you because of,
yeah,
the music,
exactly,
you play,
yeah,
booking you and then telling,
and then
you,
telling
that,
you,
that,
yeah,
sounds
can you play some
like a totally
that?
Weird way,
yeah,
around, so,
exactly,
yeah, it's very similar kind of thing, I suppose.
So yeah, just don't compromise yourself, you know, don't bend for anyone, don't try and change, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, follow your passion.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man, wicked, love that. And Holly as well, Jamie and I touched on it a little bit earlier when he chucked an interview question at me,
yeah,
about, you know, I was asking Jamie about, you know, the do's and don'ts, what promoters and, you know, people that are putting on shows need to be coming with, and said about how, you know, obviously I've in a band with a female member, and there are things that maybe people with good intentions haven't thought of. As a woman in the industry, and specifically, you know, the reggae industry, what sort of improvements do you think need to be made, or maybe things you've seen get better or things get worse even, that, you know, are you on your musical path are experiencing or have experienced? Because I think it's important. I think, as we said before, it is such a boys club out here in music in general, that.
Yeah, it is. I think that the one thing, I don't think that anything's gotten worse. I think that one thing that I've noticed that's definitely gotten better is just the presence of women at events, whether it's attendance, whether it's staff, or, you know, artists being booked. I remember one of the first ever gigs that I, like festivals that I, reggae festivals that I went to, and I was highly aware how outnumbered I was. And while that's totally fine, I've maybe realised that like over time I had gone into, or maybe I would have gone into it with my guard up anyway, but I don't know, I've definitely, or maybe it's just experience, I feel like a more kind of open energy, and just the presence of women everywhere is higher, so that's definitely a really positive thing. And it creates a different energy space somehow. It's just so powerful.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, everyone out there is working, they might run into Holly, don't talk to her like she's an idiot. She knows what she's on about, man, doing her stuff. Alright, we're going to get into a track just shortly, but maybe leading into that, going back to the Slits, and then, you mm-hmm. know, you were doing your solo thing, and now you work with, you know, you've had a kind of a couple of rotating lineups of bands.
Mm-hmm.
You now work with the General Roots Band. Maybe you can tell us about how that link up came, and, you know, what the situation was before that led to that, and how the relationship is and has been, mm-hmm. And how that relates to this track that we're about to get into.
Okay. So the General Roots Band, who have been, were the first ever Holly Cook band. About
okay.
Whenever the first Holly Cook thing was, which was really, really randomly a German TV show performance.
Wow. Is this around the time of your first album?
Yeah.
So we're going back to 2011.
Yeah.
Which was maybe around the time that the Skints and you, I don't even remember.
That was a crossover, because it would have been just after, I think, I'd done my first album with Prince Fatty. Maybe you guys were about to go in.
That sounds about right. I think you were, we were like just starting to record Part and Parcel, and you were coming down finishing up your record.
Or maybe I was
maybe even B-sides or stuff like that.
I really don't remember.
Okay.
I met them then, and, you know, that was through Prince Fatty. He knew the McCones parents. The McCones are the wondrous drum and bass duo,
North London Barrett Brothers,
Ben and James McCone. So that's how that came about, and they did this TV show with me, and we were in Hamburg. We went out. Ben was 17, I think. A while back. And then when it came to actually starting to tour and do live shows, because I think for the first year or so, it was definitely just sound system shows with Prince Fatty and Horseman. I didn't do any...
Big up Horseman every time.
I didn't do any solo live gigs. And then when I did, I just asked my friends to be in my band, because that's the way I knew how to put a band together. And as great as our experience was in Germany, I just was shy and didn't really know about the world of being a singer and using a session band. I just played with my friends, and that's what I knew and liked. So
I think that's really cool. And I'm sure there's loads of, you know, singers out there listening as well. Because that's something huge difference between us. I'm in a band, you're a solo artist that has a band. I'm sure there's loads of people out there that just wouldn't even know how to get that together, that probably have dreams of, you know, being at the front of the stage with a band behind them.
Right.
And I think just calling your buddies that play the bass, drums, whatever, it's got
to
be it, right?
Do it.
All right, let's get into the tune. What's this one we're about to play?
This one is Sweet Like Chocolate.
Classical.
We recorded this last year. I love a cover. I'll do one about every 18 months. So keep on listening for the
I think your covers are always very tasteful as well, and this is a song
this
that...
This is a collab with Ben McCone, who is also a Wicked and Bad producer.
Shout out, Ben. Sweet Like Chocolate, Shanks and Bigfoot, Holly Cook and a UKG style.
Sweet
lucky I didn't drop the Westwood bombs on that one.
Drop a bomb, Josh.
Oh man, what have we got? Oh yeah. Yes. It's going down, baby. Here we are, FUBAR Radio, Tuesday Takeover. My name's Josh from the Skints. I'm joined by Holly Cook and Jamie Rodigan in the studio right now.
Yo, yo.
You just heard Holly's great cover of Sweet Like Chocolate. Wicked, wicked, wicked tune. So, Holly, we were talking about touring earlier. You're someone that is very well-toured, well-seasoned on the road, and you're, for a reggae artist as well, or, you know, an artist in the reggae world, I should say, someone that's really not afraid to, like, tour and play outside the box. You were out with Kaiser Chiefs earlier this year. That's an absolute mazza. Can you tell us about that one?
I can tell you that I don't think that Kaiser Chiefs fans really understand Holly Cook. But you don't know until you try. And we did. And I'm sure that maybe, you know, we got about 5 people engaged every night
I'm sure it was much more than that.
See, you know.
Sorry, Kaiser Chiefs fan. The Kaiser Chiefs. We know that you would definitely love
Nothing against the Kaiser Chiefs. I consider them to be very open-minded people.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time, I will not lie. But, you know, you've done supports as well. Sometimes it is just a bit weird.
Completely, yeah.
Just, you know, when you try and engage. And some people are genuinely just not interested in you.
I think it's crazy as well. I think that, like, the bigger the band that you're opening up for, the harder it is as well.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, we've
opened up for, like, a ton of, you know, small to medium-sized bands with, like, hardcore followings and, like, had instant wins. And then you open up for someone that's, like, you know, either in the charts or has a serious following, and it's like, we have come to see this band.
Yeah, exactly. Their fans
we have come to see this band.
Cool.
Who the fuck do you think you are playing music like, before my favourite band?
Get out of here, man.
100%, man. Have you ever had that, Jay, with a DJ night that you're not... I don't know, but I mean,
yeah,
maybe
the Skins gig actually.
Oh yeah, no, it was pretty tense actually. We had to get
security.
I was
playing Basher and they were like, no. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people that are in a rave in a DJ situation are just a bit more up for things than like people that want to fold their arms at the front barrier. Okay, so Holly, what was the last album, and is there going to be a next one? The people are dying to know about albums.
The last album was Vessel of Love, and there will be a new album this year. I have been working the way that that generally tends to work best for me. I've been sort of collecting my thoughts and ideas over the last few months and, you know, doing my bits and bobs and getting my inspirations, and kind of once these gigs in the summer have subsided, then I'll start to consolidate them and plan on
What form does that take for you, for anyone interested, like bits and bobs? Is it like jotting down a line? Is it like maybe reading a book? Is it taking a photo?
Yeah,
what kind of things are...
It's jotting down lines here and there. It's recording voice notes, which have, you know, I'm sure are the same of many of those to kind of cipher through. And sometimes I have to, like, sometimes if I can hear more in my head than just the melody, I'll like sing a little chord progression or a bass line or something, just so that when I listen back to it, I know. Do you ever listen back and go like, "What the fuck was that?" You know that it was an idea, but you can't hear the rest of the relevance that was going on in your head. And then sometimes it will just be sort of like a whole kind of idea that then just will need some lyrics or whatever, and that's always inspired by being on the move and being like traveling and meeting people and being in certain places and hearing certain sounds and, you know, just taking it all in. That's why, that's generally where the inspiration comes from, is just kind of getting out and experiencing, whether it's like traveling. I find as well when I'm tired and emotional, yeah. believe it or not, is when like the ideas flow a little bit.
So. We got to work through the pain, right?
So yeah, I'll be deconstructing all my emotions in about a few weeks' time. So.
Perfect, brilliant.
Wish me luck.
yeah. Best of luck.
I've got some singles coming out. I've got a single coming out in September, which
exciting.
Is
fresh, new, not
fresh,
off an album.
No. Which is a song that I wrote with Ben McCone and Luke Allwood of the General Roots Band, because they have now, yes, not only do they play with me, they are my brothers and my musical family, and they've become my collaborators
That's
as
so
well,
brilliant.
Which is, so we are like a band.
Wicked, now, I love think. That. I think it's so rare as well, you know, for, like we said as well, like from, I know, singers, solo artists, on that kind of major label route, that might album to album have a rotating cast of band members.
Sure.
But the fact that you've made, you know, what is effectively a solo artistry into a band now, I think that's so cool.
Yeah. They have fully, you know, jumped on board the Holly train and, you know toot toot. So yeah, toot toot.
Wicked. And what about you, Jay? When it comes to, you know, consolidating ideas, inspiration and stuff, are you literally behind the computer starting at the drums and working your way up, or like what?
Yeah, I mean,
what
sometimes
is a Jamie Rodigan beat like birthed out of?
A lot of times it can be like a sample, a classic song, or like something I heard, and I go in the collection, I go and find the sample, I think, oh, I can do something with that. For example, we've got a single coming with Naomi Cowan, and I sampled Barrington Levy, Deep in the Dark.
Oh, wicked.
Which is like one of my all-time favourite Barrington songs. It's like a weird love song that was like nobody knows. And I was just like obsessed with this song. It's a spooky kind of weird song. And I was just like obsessed with this song as a teenager. And I was like, I really love to do something with that. And then, you know, 15 years later, I end up using it and, you know, creating it, turning it into a song. So, you know, it can come from anywhere, you know, inspiration, vibes, you know. Also, Holly Cook, favourite song, Looking for Real Love.
Ah,
love that song. Great.
Thank you. It's, you know what?
Love that song.
Very, very recently, as in possibly about 5 nights ago, I kind of remembered about it, because I don't play it live. I haven't played it live for years, and I was just kind of rooting through, sorting out our set for Berlin the other day. And it popped up, and I was like, oh, man. And I, like, put it on and had a proper listen, and I've had, like, you know when you have so much space from one of your own songs, you can actually listen to it in a totally different headspace and enjoy it without,
takes time
like,
sometimes.
criticising the shit out of it or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
It's like,
yeah.
So thank you very much. I'm glad that you've said that a few days after I remembered it existed. Thanks.
Wicked. And the both of you, I feel like, you know, you're two people I know that I can, like, comfortably talk about this sort of thing without you getting offended, because I feel like you guys both, for, like, you know, in being in the reggae world, I feel like you guys, you know, separately in both your endeavours do stay away from a lot of what I call, like, a lot of the clichés that in that world that I think maybe from people in the industry, especially in the industry outside of it, I'd like maybe, I don't say turned off by, but like they think is like the same, like recycled things in terms of like branding, artwork, you know, production style, just like general like innovation. Like I think you two are like both really like on point in kind of separating yourselves from things that have like completely been done and done over. Is that kind of?
Thank you.
Yeah. Of course. Are those things that you guys have maybe like consciously fought, you know, being in a scene that is, you know, because let's be real, like, you know, the music's been around so long now. I think the more time goes on, it's not necessarily harder, but it does in a way become harder for new things to stand out as fresh when there is like a new genre that's created every couple of years that is like the new thing.
Yeah.
Like, are there... Could you guys maybe talk a little bit on that, or if that's like things that are like conscious in your mind in terms of like making, you know, the appearance at least and the sound of things different, or is it just you lot doing your own thing and the fact that you're in the reggae world is irrelevant?
I mean, for me personally, like certain like classic songs I would never touch.
Sure.
Just because they mean so much to me personally. But to somebody else, it might not mean the have the same level of value or whatever, like, you know, the sentiment or whatever. So they might go for it again and again, you know, so that I can see why somebody might go for it if it's not that same level of thing towards it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I think that it's kind of, for me, it's more like it's irrelevant that the reggae aspect of it is kind of, it's fairly irrelevant to me. I just literally just do what I like. Mm. Maybe there must be an element in my mind, knowing myself and my personality, that, you know, would like not do things because lots of other people are doing them. Hence why I ended up being a reggae singer in the first place. Do you know what I mean? Because I didn't know anyone else who was really doing that. I didn't, you know, it was just something different, and I like things that are different. So when the ideas that I have musically or visually or whatever are different to the general, you know, ether of what people are used to, especially from a genre like reggae, then yeah, I think it's nice just to, you know, clearly stick your personality onto something.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Because, yeah, like I'm sure, like, all of us, you know, separately in, like, our home lives, our local lives, we're, like, the people that are into reggae. But the scene is small and the world is kind of small. And, you know, I think, like I said before, like, as time goes on, like, to keep things fresh, it's, like, it's so important. Even, like, Holly, with your artwork, and even you guys with, like, the Crate Classic stuff, just making, like, even if it's just a visual stimulant, making things different. Like, how many red, gold, green, like lion artworks and t-shirts, like, can we see anymore? I don't know, maybe it's not a thing that you guys think about clearly as much as I do, but like, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for me, so I thought I'd ask you about it.
Do what you like.
Be yourself.
Like what you do and be yourself. That's what it is. And if
you are the red, green and gold, for that.
I'm not knocking anyone that's doing that. If you're
different really loudly. Yeah.
Totally. If you're serious nature, then that's your whole vibe. Yeah. Exactly. Wicked. But, but you know, I'm more definitely talking from like a UK perspective of people that, you know, we can't lie to us. We've not grown up in an era where that was the only thing. Do you know what I mean? So there are going to be other influences from us. Anyway, Jamie, this is one I wanted to ask you about actually earlier, and maybe Holly, you can touch on this. Dub plate cutting. Holly, have you ever done any dub plates for anyone?
No, to this day I have not.
I'm really shocked to hear that actually.
I have been asked and requested, and I kind of started a running joke with myself that I wouldn't then now do one until my dub plate becomes really valuable.
way to do it. Supply and demand, right?
So I'm just waiting for the one request. I don't know who it is yet, but yeah, no, I haven't. I've never done one. I'm totally open to them. Okay, but then it's just become this funny thing that entertains myself when the fact that I haven't done one.
We do me one, Holly.
Here we go. The first one. Oh, yes. Brought the price right down already. Looking for the belly on that first dub plate. There you go. Oh, my mate. Jay. I mean, this is definitely much more your area. Like in terms dub cutting and you know, the scene and the culture, do you think it's something that is more just like a nice thing to have as DJs? Do you think it's something that is maybe definitely essential for people to have? Are you still actively getting dubs cut? What was the first one you had done?
All right. Like, I mean, I've been going to the first time I went to Music House, I was like 10 years old.
Shout out Music House.
Which is, north, you know, if anyone knows, Music House is like the spot. If you're a jungle DJ in the 90s, you went to Music House. If you're a sound man, a roots, dub, whatever, like, that was the spot on Holloway Road. So I, you know, like, I loved it. I love watching the dub get cut and the thing going round. And it was like, it was something like really special about it. I mean, in terms of like now, I mean, I just watched a big Sunfest clash with like Ricky Trooper, Black Cat,
from Kilimanjaro,
and Warrior Sound from Germany won the clash.
Wow.
A young guy from Berlin, I'm not sure, he's a German guy, he killed it. Absolutely killed it. And I think it's great. I think it's so important that, you know, dubs get voiced and to keep that part of the culture going. I think it's a big part. And I think, you know, it's sad that, you know, there's a sort of decline almost slightly in that, like, where the British sounds, you know, UK sounds were, like, up there amongst all the other sounds, it's kind of taken a dip. And I think that's sad. But in a way, like, you know, people move on. There's new genres here and other things are happening, so...
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that's a thing where, like, maybe traditionally, you know, sound systems were, like, generating money for dances to, like, put into dubs, and that's not happening so much no more? Do you think it's people don't want to spend the money? Do you think artists want too much for it? Or do you think it's just as a trend is maybe just waning for whatever reason?
I mean, a bit of both. I think people have, you know, there's the market itself. If you're going to go and cut a dub, it's very kind of like, I mean... There was that thing of, like, scamming was a big thing, right? So you send your money down to Jamaica, you know, you might link up, you think you're buying a Sizzler dub plate and it's like somebody else, and then they're charging you, like, you know, or you're not even, you're sending the money down, you're not even getting a dub plate back.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you think that's put people, or maybe has put people off?
I think it did put a lot of people off. I talked to a lot of sound systems in Europe and they said, you know, what you send money down, you're not getting a dub, what are we doing this for? So, you know, I think it's a big part of the culture. I think Red Bull did a great thing, you know, the Red Bull culture clash, and elevated the clash thing. And I think people can, you know, we should take a leaf out of their book.
I was going to say, like, the
I feel like
the Red Bull thing maybe put a lot of, obviously, as someone that's, you know, a Jamaican music nerd, I've known what dub plate and dub cutting and sound system culture is for a long time, but I feel like the Red Bull thing maybe put a lot of people in their teens and 20s onto what it even is, even to the point where, like, competing sounds clearly didn't know what dub cutting was, and were trying to clash, which was, do you know what I mean?
Like, trying to clash, but
stage show.
Course,
I mean, the videos are out there, and I feel like, you know, since then, there's probably a lot more, definitely younger people that, like, haven't grown up going to, like, you know, Shubs and whatever, that. Or even aware what it is, so interesting. Anyway, let's change the mood a bit. We've got a couple of questions here. Holly.
Yes.
It's been a big night out. You're coming in 6 in the morning, steaming and starving. What does Holly cook?
Holly cook makes a cup of tea.
Okay.
And puts a pita in the toaster and then puts butter and Marmite on it.
Whoa.
And eats it. And then drinks a lot of water to prevent tomorrow's hangover.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, like, it's not really, none of it's cooking, but I suppose it's like, what does Holly eat? Where my pun games are in. All right. Well, Holly's entertaining a party of gluten-free vegans. What does Holly cook?
Gluten-free vegans get a punch in the face.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry.
You heard it here first, guys. Holly Cook does not think Itel is Vitel.
No, guys, you get a fucking chickpea and tofu salad or curry. Okay. Depends if it's summer or winter.
All right. Fair enough. We'll take that. All right. Well, as we were on that one, Jamie.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not a fisherman, but let's imagine hypothetically you've been out on the lake.
Yeah.
You've caught a bass, a perch, and a trout. What does Jamie Rodigan?
I'm a sea bass guy. There's no. What was the perch and the trout?
Don't know. I googled trout. Three fishing fish, dude. I don't know about fishing. Maybe you do.
The perch and the trout, no. But the sea bass all day long.
Every day.
And, you know, while we're on the topic, definitely a bit of snapper.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor fish, salmon, all that good stuff, yeah.
Keeping it tropical.
That's it.
All right, wicked. Love that. Okay, we're moving on. Let's play another tune by my guys, The Expanders. LA's finest reggae export, this one, Easy Star Records, from the old time, Something Come Back Again, Volume 2. Struggler's Time.
Fubar Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
This is our special guest co-host, Terry Walker.
Hey! We got gorgeous in the building. Hey! Gorgeous, 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 gorgeous in the building. Hey!
That perfect sounding person that you hear on the fourth mic is Bree Runway.
Thank you very, very much.
You're of Ghanaian descent.
Yes, I am. So what makes jollof is better? Is this an argument that's going to start?
Do you know what? You guys' rice is not good.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio. It is 5:27. It's the Tuesday takeover. My name is Josh from the Skints. We've got Holly Cook and Jamie Rodigan in the studio.
What?
Again, give them another clap. And they're shooting soon. But Holly, I asked this one to Jamie earlier, as you're another West London native, and it is the month of August, like tomorrow or something. Mm-hmm. Some of your earliest and favouritest carnival memories that you could share with us.
Okay. Some of them I don't really remember because I was that small, but I
have going to say because you was that gone.
Totally wasted. No, well, like literally my mum's like 24 and I'm like this tiny. So I don't remember those, but because I've got images of them, they are also kind of now seem like memories. But yeah, a couple of my parents' friends had houses on along, you know, I wish I could remember which road it was, but I've got a few like childhood memories of just being a kid and playing with my mates and carnival like happening out the window. That was, you know, probably around like 5 or 6, and always remembering that like Ladbroke Grove and Portobello Road to me as a kid, every time we went there, I was like, I'd be like, this is where carnival was. And it was like, what, you're probably one of those really annoying things to your parents when you're a kid, just like,
it's just that extreme visual stimulant.
So I always remembered it, like, even on a normal Thursday or whatever, I'd always be like, this is where that thing happens. Recent carnivals, probably my more fun time. Happy memories. But yeah, again, to be honest, I'm not going to lie, I get pretty wasted and overexcited at carnivals.
So, you know, as you should. I'm guessing you're both...
Not like, you know, memories are plenty.
Yeah, that's all good. You're both around for carnival this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll see you raving in the streets?
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Wicked. Well, these guys got a shoot. Holly, at Holly Cookie.
That's
everything.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, man. What's coming up in the next couple of months?
Got some festivals. We've got Guns and Arms this week. Uprising, I think, in Slovakia.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Then that's the day before Carnival, then Carnival, then Outlook. My first Outlook.
Oh, yeah,
last Outlook.
RIP Outlook. It's been emotional.
And then I'm off to LA for a couple of gigs out there and music in between and a single. Very end of August or beginning of September is when that is to listen out for.
She's busy. The Lovers Rock Queen of West London, Holly Cook, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Mr. Jamie Rodigan.
Yes, sir.
You're off as well. We gave you little plugs earlier. Anything else you thought of that's happening before you go?
Supporting Trop Killers from Brazil on Wednesday night at Village Underground. So if you love your baile funk and your dancehall, come through. It's Wednesday night. And then Bristol on the weekend. Couple of other bits and pieces, and then dropping a single with Bella Blair in end of August, just before Carnival, actually.
Wow.
Weekend of Carnival, Bella Blair.
These guys are active.
Great classics.
Wicked.
Look out for that.
Look out for that. Holly, Jamie, thank you very much, guys.
Josh from the Skints. Yeah.
All
right, we're going to play a song that I tried to, that I did play earlier, that wasn't the song at all. One of my favourite bands of all time. The fathers of everything in America, in my opinion. Fishbone, Unyielding Conditioning, it's Scar Time right now.
Unyielding Conditioning, do not come all the time.
Takeover with Josh from the Skins on FUBAR Radio.
What's going on? This is Josh from the Skins on FUBAR Radio. The time is 5:36. You just heard Unyielding Conditioning by the Legends Fishbone. Forgot how long that tune was with the mad sax solos at the end. Big up those guys. But right about now, people, we've got another guest. He's not my rival. He's my rival. He's always here on arrival. It's Rival.
Hey, get me.
Who's that guy on your takeover saying your thing?
I don't know, man. That's the idea that they gave me. Maybe we need to
tell him liven up.
We need to do
a
custom one.
Yeah, man. Bloody hell, mate.
Maybe we need to call on one of the here. We need to call on like Horseman to do me a little
thing
or something, bro.
100%.
We need a little bit more spice and flavour. But how's it going, man? What's going on?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right, bro. Having
this
fun.
This is strange seeing you in these settings. We're usually next to each other on stage.
Yeah.
And now you've got like a Jonathan Ross-esque type
role,
you know what I mean?
Wow.
This is good.
I don't think they're definitely not paying me like Jonathan Ross gets paid. So
soon. We've got to boost you up, then you get the check, you know
all
what
right,
I mean?
We'll find out. But man, how you been? What's Rival been up to in the last couple of weeks?
Been playing GTA. I don't know if you downloaded this casino package they've got now, but yeah.
Bro,
I'm not a gamer.
I'm the only non-gamer in the Skins.
GTA Online is serious, okay. Bro.
I've been beating Mario Kart on my friend's Switch.
And that's Mario Kart is classic, but like I like free world games, so I like to walk around, steal some cars. You know what I mean? Vibes.
Wicked. Cool, but, man.
Yeah, man. I've been doing that. Recording, getting ready for another project. So, knee deep in recording. I've got maybe another 2 weeks of recording, and then we'll be ready for next month, man.
Wicked, man. So Rival, are we going by just Rival now, or is it still Rival Rives?
I've had to change my name just in terms of releasing, because I don't know if you type in Rival on Google.
Bruv?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an absolute...
It is a headache. Myth. So obviously
there's
now,
one like... I think there's like a Mexican mariachi band or something called Rival.
Listen, Rival Sons. There's a band called...
Rival Schools.
I want to strangle them. Yeah, I want to strangle them.
They're old school. You can't strangle them, man. They've been around since...
It's so annoying, yeah, because it's like... Oh my! I might get a notification about something. It has nothing to do with me. Yeah. Like, it's just some next band with like sombreros and shit. It's not me. Yeah. Like,
no, that's the Mexican band. I know.
It pissed me off my whole career, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, this isn't necessarily what I wanted to start, but it's definitely a thing of when you're an artist or a band, MC, whatever.
Mm.
Like how Googleable your name is.
You have to.
I think it's definitely a thing, isn't it?
I don't think we take like that into consideration when we have these moments of, oh, that is gonna be the name.
Right.
Like, I had the most weirdest names, like, when I started. I had Unknown Soldier, Armageddon.
Wow. I've never known this.
Yeah. Unknown Soldier. I had a bunch with these
DJ names.
Yeah. But, like, these names never went nowhere because it was just like, number one, that's a lot of like stuff to put in for your MSN email address.
Wow.
Like, it's just like, I haven't got the energy or time for all this. And there's no uniqueness towards the names that I'm creating. So Armageddon just sounded like, yeah, destruction. This is exactly what I need. But really,
but you know, time, it would have become armor.
Yeah.
Eventually, and there's already an armor.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly. And then there's a million soldiers that used to spell it S-O-U-L-J-A. What's wrong with us? Why do we do that?
There's a soldier from my area, man. He goes by Soljitsu now. Battles on Don't Flop.
Yeah.
Big up Soldier.
I might have heard that
Soljitsu,
name.
Soljitsu, man. Yeah,
I like
heavy,
the battle
man.
Rap team.
But he
still.
Was back in the day when he was Grime MC. He was like, and he was Soldier.
Soldier. Yeah, everyone had the Soldier like that, man. But and I'm releasing a video on Friday. Look how terrible I am at plugging.
No, come on, man. We'll get to the plugins, man. We got time.
Yeah, man, we got time.
But to start getting into it, obviously, last time you and I spoke on recording, I was on your podcast. But just to do a little history lesson, as we have done with everyone else today.
Rewind select time.
Take us back then to mini Rival, younger Rival, young Ashley in 90s East London, Plasto, Newham.
Mm-hmm.
Man, where did you start life and tell us about where your journey started, bro?
I think predominantly living in Newham, East London, Plasto, definitely born and raised. A lot of crime, man. Just, I'm so happy to be here. Like, I've never been in jail,
that.
You know.
I love that.
Like, you have no idea how happy I am. Like, knowing, like, just where some of my friends ended up and where some ended up even, you know what I mean? Unfortunately. But, like, growing up for me, I think the one thing that I liked about East London is that, like, for some reason, crime was, like, I don't know, like, at the forefront for a lot of my teenage life. So I was able to, like, walk down the road and see D-Double, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, we probably pissed him off when we was in our school days because we used to walk down the road and see him like early morning when we're getting some buns and that's, we didn't care. But like, I think just, I don't know, there was some element of that being a part of like a big thing that I cared about. Like, grime was like the most personal thing. It's like, the people that I'm listening to or recording on tape packs, I can see down the road.
And
like, you know what I mean?
I think that's so important as well because, you know, we're the same age. What, you born? 89, 90?
89.
Yeah, so I'm born 90. Yeah. So we're like starting year 7 at school, which I feel like that summer between year 6 and year 7, like, I don't know about you, but
that
for me,
grime.
I was really getting into just music in general.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, garage was really the sound then. And literally, like, as we're going into high school, is probably the time when it really starts to branch off.
But this is what was crazy for me, is that, like, I didn't listen to grime for ages. Like, loads of my friends was doing it, listening to grime and all this stuff. But I was so, like, so like...
Were you even into music or just other music?
I was so focused on trying to figure out how RZA's brain made Wu-Tang happen, yeah? Or like a Naughty by Nature making hip-hop great. Like hip-hop for me was just like this new thing that like I just... I don't want to say new thing because I grew up around it, but like the older I got, it's like the lyrics hit home a bit more. So I was just in that a lot. Yeah, a lot into the rap a lot. And then the first Grime tune I heard was Ice Rink, Dizzy Rascal's version. You get me? And that it was some like Capital. No, not Capital. It weren't Capital. It was Choice. Commander B. I took the tape back from my friend, like, and like he just recorded loads of like Grime tunes, and that like, I just remember thinking, bro, like this, that like, I like my rap and that, but this is like they're talking like, man, they're talking like us, like this is the best, like who is that like you know what I mean? It was just that experience of just having that kind of made me want to do music, I think. But I started DJing. It weren't really a spitting thing. I didn't have no confidence for all that. So yeah, man.
Would you think? I mean, to take you back to a point you touched on earlier about, you know, going to school.
Yeah.
You look and just see D-Dub on the street. You know, I think now that, you know, the lid is off on grime, and you know, people that read The Guardian and stuff know about what grime is and that it started in Bow. And that's the rhetoric you hear quite a lot, is that, you know, it's like grime started in Bow, but. As someone that was listening to it at the time and lived, you know, fairly locally to it, I always felt like Newham, you know, and the Plasto East Ham area in particular has bred a lot of, like, the foundation artists. And I was, you know, do you think if you had been from, like, North London, South London, West London, or even another part of East, it would have had the same thing of like, you're like, I want to do this? Or do you think it was the fact that seeing people like a D.W. Kano on a high road or whatever is like,
I think,
was that influential? Was that just so normal that it wasn't even a thing?
That was influential 100%, but I don't know, my journey with music and grime is like so divided between East London and North London. Like, I got kicked out of school end of year 10. I went to another school, but by then, so I got kicked out during the summer period before we got into year 11.
Okay.
So it's like GCSE period.
Yeah.
And throughout that whole time, it was like, what are you going to do with your life now that you're not in school?
Yeah.
Possibilities of going to another school, but like, what are you going to do for 6 weeks? Like, I really wanted to be a DJ, so I bought some my mum, thank God, bought me some turntables.
What kind of turntable?
Some dead Numarks, fam. Like, dead. Like dead.
Well, like digital, not like a
No, this is vinyl days from.
Right, so
this
right.
Is, but they was it was dead. It was dead. But like, that's
shout,
how.
Shout
I
out, mum, though. You know, for buying decks in the first place.
It weren't techniques, 12-10s, but a man made it happen. You get me? So I learned on that, and then the East London drive, inspiration for me and Graham was really the youth centres, like the younger generation of Graham. So, you had like, do you remember the All Star Rhythm on the block?
Right.
So you had like on the block, you had crews. So it was like you have a big crew, and then you have the youngers.
Like, yes, like younger scared them, younger slew them. All those
so, like,
guys. At the
those
time.
Are the people that I was.
Can you maybe talk about some of those names that were around at the time that were kind of that were doing those
man.
Sets?
Like so, like you'd had Kids in the Hood,
Who were the youngers of Boys in the Hood, which was Titch
and them
Dukes,
lot,
right?
So you had Kids in the Hood. You had. Aftershock Hooligans, which was S-Kid and D-Dark, and then you had the other Aftershock, Aftershock Lords, which was like Royal, Crucial. There was a bunch of youngers back in the day, but like for me, I practiced a lot in East, did a lot of the youth centres in East, and then the radio experiences started happening for me from North, Axe FM. Big, rest in peace, Pablo. But, that was the first station I branched out to when I got to like.
Right. Where was Axe in Tottenham?
Nah, this was in Edmonton Green.
Okay.
That was the first one, and it was like, it was pretty hood still, but yeah, man.
But that was you like bringing your records up there and starting to
all on my back
to juggle.
Sack. Yeah, man.
For the MCs, or were you just doing like kind of DJ mixes?
So,
on there?
The first crew I joined was a highly rated, which was D-Dark, I think he had left by the time I joined. Bex, Killer B, a guy called Mystery Nate, and there was another DJ in there. Forgive me, I can't remember his name.
But you're like 15 at this point?
Yeah.
16, 15?
Yeah, 15, 16, man. Yeah, yeah. And they was all older than man. They was all like 19, 20 at this point.
Right.
21.
Right.
Maybe a bit older, I don't know. But like, I just never hung around with any youngers, you know what I mean? Like, I always felt like I'd get more experience in what I need to do from the older peers, you know what I mean? So I kind of tried to stay in that sort of direction. But yeah, that radio station, and then just diving around from that station took me to a couple in North London. But yeah, man, so my career kind of got the best of both worlds. I was able to meet MCs from North and still stay in touch with all my East peers and that, you know what I mean?
That's wicked, man. Yeah, all man. Right, so we're going to fast forward a little bit here. The name Rival happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, you know, you start MCing. Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing doing radio. That was a radio
lyricist in the world, you know.
Trust me, this guy is a barra, but he is.
Nah, I'm all right. I started yesterday, man.
Nah, come on, man. No, so go on. Speak a little bit on just that transition from being, you know, a kid DJ to a young man MC. Was like,
it's weird, man. It's weird because you're like,
it's like a different like mask you're wearing almost, like,
yeah, because it's like you've gone from like just being able to make someone else sound good with your mixing and right instrumentation and just choosing the right pitch, timing and X, Y, and Z. But like, I don't know, hearing your voice back for the first time is weird because now I have to ask people, do I sound all right? Like, I'm not able to like know. It's not like when you're DJing, you know if a mix is off or what.
Right.
Like,
right.
Now I'm rapping, it's like, all right.
Is this good?
I think I've got it.
Yeah.
But do I have it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't really know until you are someone, you get me? And everyone just kept telling me, yeah, man, you got a sick voice, man. And then I think 2 weeks after that, it was like, that tune you sent, man, it was sick, yeah, but you kind of sound like Kano, you know? And yeah, 9 years on, we're still here with that same...
Word, bro.
It's weird, man.
It is. I mean, I don't, you know.
What are people hearing, bro?
I don't sound like Kano, but to be honest with you, mate, there's much worse MCs that people,
you know what I mean,
could say. Yeah,
yeah. Like, now I just need the money like Kano, you get me?
There you go.
I need a role in Top Boy, man. I need it.
Do you know what? I think, have you ever thought about acting?
I'll do it, man. I'll do it. I've done one little glimpse of acting, which wasn't really acting. It was just like, you know, them ones. Boy, it's got a music video.
Yeah, no,
I think
that's how you could do, man.
In fact, no, actually, I've done one. There's one video I've done, Risky Roads, Newham General's Pumping It Out remix with Kano and all them. I'm the boy at the beginning of the video.
Okay, so that's, I have like to rewatch that, man. Pumping It Out.
I'm the guy in the video at the beginning still.
Cool.
But yeah, that's like my one 15 minutes of fame, you get me?
No, I think you could do it, man, because obviously, you know, to not to discredit your career, but looking at the time and moving on a bit, we met around the time, you know, was maybe you were like coming off the back of your doing the, you know, what I would call the rounds of the grime scene, things like Lord of the Mics and a million radio sets
on all the radio stations
you can think of.
Yeah,
you know, a couple clashes and stuff like that, and now, you know, you've come out, done some really, what I think is out the box stuff in terms of your average grime MC journey, like stuff like coming out.
I started working with the Skints, like this amazing band. So, yeah, man.
And now you're doing, you know, you're podcasting as well, which
I'm trying, man.
Wicked podcast. Rives and the Mandem.
Yeah.
I've been on it. It's, you know, Rivals a serious podcaster, man. Can you maybe talk about? And I think as well, like it's maybe difficult for MCs to think about being anything other than an MC, and all artists really, people in bands, singers, to think about doing anything but just that and being seen as just that. Can you maybe talk about, you know, being someone, yeah, just the your journey into podcasting just a little bit?
The podcasting journey came just off the strength that I just want to be heard certain times, and with the whole like not being relevant, there's not really any time that you can always have something to say, you know what I mean? So the podcasting just came from that, and then just speaking to my friends like we're speaking now, I've just always thought, rah, I've always been able to gauge and have great conversation with people. Where can I hear this conversation again, you know what I mean? So I started listening to podcasts just off the strength that I like wrestling. And then from there, I've just locked in, and now we're here.
That's so sick, man. Yeah, check it out. Rives and the Man in podcast on everywhere, Spotify, everywhere, Apple Music, everywhere, man. All right, we're running out of time, but check this out. Before we go, we've got a little game.
Yeah, yeah.
Rival based. So I've got a bunch of scenarios here that rival each other that are, I think, are relevant to you.
Oh, dope.
And you've got to tell me, you know, which higher or lower, which is the rival, okay? You ready?
All right.
All right. Have we got any sort of, maybe we can do this one. Yeah, whatever. All right. Which rival is rivaling the rival? Number one, Lannisters or Targaryens?
Ooh. Are we including the last season?
I mean, we are. Like, I haven't had it in my heart to really, like, watch that last episode again just because of how
heartbreaking, man.
I am. I was in New York at the time, and it was, like, 3 a.m, and I'm hurt. But go on, Lannisters or Targaryens?
I'm going to go with Lannister, you know.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, man.
They were kind of bastards the whole time, but at the end it just went so shit that they can just...
I'm just going to go with Lannisters,
All right, Triple H or Shawn Michaels?
Oh,
wow. Wow.
Triple H, man.
Okay. Is any justification for that, or are you just calling it?
Why would I go for Triple H over Shawn Michaels? Yeah, just longevity.
I'm not a big wrestling guy. I'm an Armageddon era. I know about Stone Cold and The Rock.
Overall, legendary status, you would have to go for Shawn Michaels. But just for where the company's going now, Triple H, man.
All right, cool. Yeah. Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram. And everyone go and like my last picture.
Yeah, at Just Rival on Instagram, people. Get on it. Yeah, all right, the Biscuit Man. Digestives or custard creams?
Custard creams, man. I've got it tatted on the skin, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
If we got any, if anyone can email in,
yeah, send the biscuits, man. Send
I believe
the
it's takeover@foodbarradio.com. If anyone's got any biscuit tattoos to rival this, then they're in. Oh, mate, this one's a mad one. Pixar or Marvel? Two huge parts
Pixar.
Of mine.
Pixar, Toy Story all day. Man.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Woody for life.
You like Toy Story 4?
Yeah, it's a good film.
Loved it.
I see a lot of people complaining about it, but it's a vibe, man. Toy Story is always better than Lion King. You
know? Definitely, that Lion King. I seen it, dude.
What are you saying?
Shit.
There's no story to tell. I told everyone.
So is one of the most got to be the most expensive unnecessary film.
Yeah.
Like that has been made.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Toy Story 4 all the way. Liverpool or Man City?
Man United. None of them.
Yeah, I know you're. That's why we're asking the question.
You don't ask me that. That's a red card. How can you ask me both teams I don't support of that?
One or the other. Who? All right, fine. Who's got a go? Yeah, off the face of the earth.
I actually hate both of them, but right. Liverpool, man. Mugs.
All right. Club shows or festivals?
Festivals!
Yeah, mate, does like course, a festival. Cool.
No, you know what? 100 club, the 100 club we did, that was dope, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, festivals all day, man.
I know there is definitely, you do get a twinkle in your eye and a smile in your face when you're outdoors at a festival.
100%.
I've seen it for myself. All right. PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox One. Add me, Rives Cartel. I'm on there. You get me?
Wow.
GTA
really
Online.
Promoting it like that. Microsoft, listen up. Coffee or tea?
Tea. I'm a herbal tea man. Chamomile, lemon and ginger.
Interesting.
Yeah, man. I know. You never think that.
I rate that. No, because I always just know you to drink like mad sugary drinks.
No. Herbal tea in the morning always, man. Cool. With the vitamins. You get me?
All right. Dine out or take away?
I'm lazy. Take away, man.
Okay, cool.
100%.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I know you're someone that eats.
I do like going out sometimes, but nah, man. Take we'll do a takeaway.
Every time I see you, you're either eating Chinese or Caribbean food. So
I know it's ridiculous.
You're a takeaway guy.
You know me.
All right, blast through these. Boris Johnson or Donald? I didn't even write this one. Boris Johnson or Donald Trump? We're not answering that question because they can both.
Yeah,
just done
trust
off
me.
The earth.
Bun out them both of them, man.
Suck yourselves. Right, suits or tracksuits?
Suits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you see the feel in a suit, yeah? It's very different compared to wearing a tracksuit.
Yeah, but I feel like you're a man that's probably had a million tracksuits.
I've probably got a million tracksuits. But you see a suit, that's when that's when you know the money's in. So, yeah, suits.
All right, 100%. Cool. Last one. Beach holiday or city break?
Ooh. City break, man. City break. I love seeing different landscapes, man. A beach is nice, but I need Wi-Fi.
All right, wicked. Well, right, that's all we got time for, man. Big up yourself. Man. Thank you very much.
Come on.
Anything to plug? At
no.
Just Rival, everything?
Just everyone, Friday, look out for my video, Aria Flow.
Aria Flow.
Yes, yes,
ready
yes.
To stab the Night King in the heart.
You know what I mean?
With one Rambo jump. All right, yeah. Run that right now. Listen to this one. Just Rival. Aria Flow. This Friday. My name's Josh from the Skints. It's been the Tuesday Takeover on FUBAR Radio. Big up producer Abby and everyone for having me. It's been emotional. We'll leave you with this.
But you weren't expecting this. Who's laughing now?
Back in the day, me and my mates playing cops and robbers. Yes. All growing up. Some are still playing cops and robbers. Still I know goons and monsters. Still I know moves and shotters. That I take off head top like Guinness and Foster's.
Can't take Birdman for football.
Alright, I've been patiently waiting to blow. Watching the game just change as it goes. These days everybody's brave on the road. On Wi-Fi safe in their home. Too many men obsessed with gal. To the point of breaking the codes. And what is a claim to fame? A viral moment? Yo, the world's too crazy, you know. Bills gotta pay as you go and I don't do lazy approach. All about branding here. Man can't tell me a damn thing here. How long has a man been here? JME vibe serious, man don't care. Everybody discussing grand, but really, how much do you man here? Hey, what going for you man there? Man just act up and move all weird. On some Nikki vibe. I don't really know about Nikki guys. I just go past nonsense. Take a left turn while them on the breeze ain't right. I ain't going in your direction. I got a lane, beer, weed and wine. Yeah, with the deepest rhymes. With one line, I could beat your wife. I'm getting old but I'm seasoned bright. Eating fine but still eager. I'm in this thing making sure I'm receiving mine. I feel like I'm ready for all of y'all. I get rid of evil like Aria. Who said what about rhymes? I'll take at the heart of y'all. And keep on plotting y'all. 16 after 16 bar for y'all. I've been cold Antarctica. It's flow spin all of y'all. Sent off to the car with us. Head top get caught like the barber does. They just can't par with us, that's why you get the parring off. And I'm back on that dangerous flex. It's that season I take off heads. It's that time and I raise up legs. Still head sick, we don't take no meds. And don't even get around me. I'ma take shot on a Neymar flex. I mess up the makeup and makeup bit. Then she's out of the yard like, nah, you ain't pay no rent. When I spray his meds, I come to break, no make no dents. Made in a manner like Kano, yes. They still think I sound like Kano, that's stress. But I'ma still make that bread. Been writing raps and I'ma aim at heads. Who's firing back, you'll be waking dead. I am black and that's a dangerous sledge. And I ain't here to make no friends. I come to rain on heads, put pain on them. All that gas, put your flames on them. Hey, why would I care about the latest trend when I'm making them? I give a fuck about the latest trend when I'm making them. Hey, back in the day, me and my mates playing cops and robbers. All growing up, some are still playing cops and robbers.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.